The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
You might remember last week there was a story in the news that a panda in a Chinese zoo faked her own pregnancy in order to get extra food. Have a listen.
This morning, a soap opera is taking place where you might least expect it. At a zoo, China's giant panda, Ai Hin, thought to be pregnant. The Chengdu research base so excited, they revealed she was about to get her own show, starring in the first ever live broadcast of a panda birth. But this morning, zookeepers say, despite showing all the signs of being pregnant, like changes in appetite and hormones, and moving less, she wasn't pregnant after all. They believe Ai Hin might have been faking it to improve her quality of life. Turns out pregnant pandas at the Chengdu base are pampered with single dens complete with air conditioning, 24/7 care, plus extra bamboo, fruit, and snacks.
Yes, it certainly sounds like it pays to be a pregnant panda. So it got us thinking, are we just as bad as pandas and do we fake it to make it? Have you ever faked something to get what you wanted or faked it to get out of something you didn't want to do? Get texting with your faking it stories to 51551. It just so happens our first guest this morning, comedian David O'Doherty, has written a book on the subject of pandas. David, you're very welcome.
Well, to an extent, I faked writing a book because it's all total rubbish. The book, if you ever read Amazon reviews, read them for 100 Facts About Pandas, the book of made-up panda facts that I wrote, because it's some of the angriest reviews ever. I mean, you'd think putting a picture of a panda working on the stock exchange on the cover would put people off that maybe this isn't entirely correct, but it seems like people love pandas. And so I tried to make up facts that sounded like they might be true, like due to the high iron content in a panda's liver, they're slightly magnetic. And so if you spin one round and blindfold it, he'll be drawn north. But apparently people don't like made up things about pandas.
I see. So it wasn't a bestseller, is that what you're saying?
I think it was a reasonable, in as much as books about facts about pandas are supposed to sell, National Geographic reviewed it.
Right.
This is absolutely true, I promise. And they said they liked the book, but it had several factual inaccuracies in it. And their problem was, we had a fact in that book, which was due to a mix-up in classification by Dr. Joseph Banks in 1848, the panda is classified as a nut, not a mammal. And their problem was Dr. Joseph Banks retired in 1845. So it wasn't the nut problem, it was just the date.
So it was all making up stuff.
It was absolute making up stuff.
But the readers didn't all get in on the joke.
The problem was doing early morning radio interviews to publicise it. This is going back about 2 years ago. Very often, the first question would be, because they'd just be handed a book that says 100 Facts About Pandas. You'd have to spend a lot of time in China researching this. And I'd have to go, oh no, no, this is going to be a long interview.
That's the difficulty with comedy, I suppose, is it? Yeah.
The difficulty is some people just don't get it.
Yes. Well, that's a pity anyway. And have you ever faked it, by the way, to make it? Have you ever said made up stuff about yourself that
get by? I certainly did when I was temping, because you get a higher day rate for doing temp jobs if you, for example, are fluent in French. And sometimes I once got away 2.5 days of just, I can't speak French. I can speak a bit, but I can go, no. And, oh, well, you know, so it sounds like I really know what I'm at. And, you know, I was on like 12 quid an hour or something.
What were you temping as?
I was correcting exams. This is terrible. Oh, my goodness. This is going back to about 2001. I was correcting exams in French.
What sort of exams?
For some PR college or something. I don't know. I was getting highly paid. You don't have to be able to do a thing when you're highly paid.
But you are correcting French exam papers.
The collapse of our economy has shown us. You just get highly paid. You don't have to be good at it.
Yeah.
And I got away with it for 2.5 days until someone came in and started conversing with me in French. And I started going, le chat est dans le magasin.
I see. So that was the end. Did you get paid for 2.5 days?
Of course I did. Yeah. Of course I
nice
did.
Nice money back then, actually. £12 back in that day.
It took a few years off afterwards. Yeah. Bought a ghost estate, or as it was then, just an estate.
Well, anyway, tell us about this collaboration. I should also welcome our second guest this morning, Chris Judge.
Thanks, Chris.
Have you ever faked it?
Not to that extent, so probably just to get out of school or
you were in a band for a good while. You used to pretend to be cool.
Oh yeah, I pretended to be cool.
Well, as it turns out, let's hear how cool you were. Just a bit of the Chalets, was it?
Oh, that's right, yeah, Chalets. Yeah.
Actually, I think we can hear a bit of them now.
Cool. Miss your train, catch them next to the coast. Fall down the dunes in the sun till we roll. Keep your clothes on when we jump in.
Are you singing there, Chris?
Yeah, myself and the girls are singing there. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah. I used to go, this is how we met. I was in awe of his harmonies and folk. He was your bass player and guitarist.
Yeah, we used to swap instruments.
I used to just turn up at their gigs and just cheer along at his tremendous guitar solos. And 10 years on, look at us.
Yeah, yes,
collaborating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell us exactly about the collaboration. I have the book here in front of me, Danger is Everywhere. What is it all about? It's a children's book, but given what you've been telling us about pandas, is it really a children's book at all?
Yeah, where to begin? I'd say growing up in Ireland, there isn't very much danger. You know what I mean? I'm talking about proper. So you have to, as a kid, you have to invent it. A lot of it in your head. I was always obsessed with the idea of a shark attacking me coming up out of the loo. Do you know what I mean? My granny lived in Ackle, so we'd be there, and the chance of, like, well, obviously banshees and things like that, but then polar bears attacking you. And so we've written a book which is written by a man who is scared of all of these things, and he is telling you what to do. Like, if a polar bear attacks you on your way to school, Chris, you know this one. You can't outrun a polar bear or outswim it. So the only thing that bamboozles a polar bear is card tricks. So you have to, if a polar bear confronts you, take out your deck of cards, pick a card. And they'll be so amazed by whatever the trick is.
Disappear.
And then you can run off while they're bamboozled trying to work out how you did it. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Any other example to give us?
There's I think it was the first thing I wrote when we started writing this book was an animal, a Belgian snake called the toothbrush snake. And this is a very important one, John, for any kids who might be listening. It creeps into your bathroom and lies beside your actual toothbrush, and it looks like a toothbrush. And if you're not paying attention, you put toothpaste on it. When you lift it up, it shoots up your nose, and the only way you can get it down is by playing a trumpet. I mean, this is important stuff.
It is very crucial stuff.
RTE1 haven't been covering recently.
No, very important stuff. Yeah, and our children, our very future, at risk as well. And what about you, Chris? When it came to the collaboration, you're an illustrator, and obviously you do all the illustrations for the book.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do picture books mainly, and I got a little message popped up on my Gmail from David just saying, Chris, I have an idea for a book.
I think I've got a ludicrous idea.
A ludicrous idea, yeah. And there was just a very brief few sentences, and I was like, yeah, I want to do that immediately. That sounds brilliant. So we just met up and started Benson Ideas Office. And yeah, we just actually put a pitch together of kind of a loose version of the cover in about 10 spreads or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's just the response was ridiculous from the start. Yeah. I mean, I tried it out on my nieces. I have two nieces who are 8 and 9, and they immediately reacted to it because it is something you think about a lot when you're little. You think about the worst thing. I mean, I remember being obsessed with what would happen. I think it was maybe after the hurricane in Dublin in 86, our house got flooded. I remember thinking, what would happen if the whole house got flooded? But then what would happen if our goldfish turned out to be a baby great white shark and then it escaped? And where in the house would I go if I was being chased by a shark around our house? Obviously, the answer is you'd lure the goldfish into the chest freezer using cod fillets, right, and then you'd shut it on it. So just if anyone was wondering, that's how you'd get around that.
Yeah.
But it was, I had certain ideas, and then, I mean, I can't draw. I'm horrible at drawing. So I passed them over to Chris, and he just immediately sort of visualized the world in which all these things exist. Particularly, some of it's, he's made things really scary. There's a very rare kind of octopus called the postbox octopus or postboctopus, which has a mouth like a slot of a letterbox, and it creeps into villages and stands on street corners. And if you go and put a letter into his mouth, he grabs your hand, tries to haul you back to the sea.
I see.
Which is quite a sinister idea, but he made it 12. I think we might have had to go, Chris, could this be less scary? I'm 38 and I am absolutely pooping my pants looking at this.
And is the book aimed at any particular age group,
Chris? I think it's aimed, you know, on paper it's aimed at 9 to 11 year olds, but it's the type of book I'd happily pick up myself, age 38 also. And yeah, I think,
as a fully grown adult,
yeah, I think kids and dads will love it, definitely. Yeah.
My friend said this book is a Lou Reed. Okay. Which initially I thought, like, you know, Lou Reed from the Velvet Underground. I was like, oh yeah, it is. It's sort of like dark and reminiscent of the Velvet Underground. And he went, oh no, you put it in your loo and read it.
And why do you think it is that children love to be terrified?
I think it's very, I mean, what's our most dangerous animal in this country is the badger, I think, of our land mammals.
Is it?
A wild animal. And I think that does 4 attacks a year. And I mean, when I was little, I was just watching Attenborough documentaries all the time of lions attacking zebras. And, you know, you'd look at it and you'd be, I'd like a piece of that now.
Yeah.
I wish.
I know, poor Ireland is so tame.
Yeah, there was a bit more of that in my life. So I think that's certainly where it came from. Also, I wanted to write a book that is complete rubbish. You know, there's a lot of things to be worried about in the world, and this book is full of things you don't need to worry about at all. And I also think it's good to have a book that kids can look at and go, oh, this man is a Wally. Like, Wally is one of my favourite words. And no one says, do you remember when we were little,
everyone, you'd go,
yeah, he's a Wally. And you knew what Wally meant. It was, he's a sort of innocent, charming, silly man. So I want to bring back the Wally. And so this book is certainly written by a Wally.
I think kids will identify as well with adults being overly cautious, and because definitely it's gotten worse in the last, since we were kids anyway, definitely.
And David, you're just back from your regular stint in Edinburgh. How was that?
It was good. I did 48 shows in 28 days and then came back and really wound down by doing the Electric Picnic there. So my voice is a little lower than it would normally be, but it's such fun. You know, it was nice because in the middle of the mayhem of Edinburgh, we launched this children's book, which is, it's just such a, I don't know, it's a different thing performing for kids, performing for, the greatest heckle I've ever got was from a 6-year-old who just put up his hand about 10 minutes into a book I was reading, and he just said, excuse me, does this get good soon? And that's still the greatest heckle in the history of
Edinburgh. No heckles like that at Edinburgh. Many shows again, did you say?
48 shows. About 28 days, yeah.
So a couple every day, a matinee and an evening show.
That'd be it. Sure, yeah, if people want to come and see it, I'm more than happy to do it. It's fun. You lose your mind after
with your
a while.
Keyboard, with your little keyboard.
I do, yeah, I have a tiny...
In fact, I think, have we a little bit of classic David O'Doherty? This is what David O'Doherty gets up to when he's in Edinburgh.
Girls, stop telling me about your dreams. Seriously. To the fateful moment when it begins. I had a dream last night. No! Save me from the next 2 minutes. I was on a horse and then the horse was flying. I don't care. It was unbelievable. Well, of course it's unbelievable. It's a dream. What do you want? Highly believable dreams. I had a dream. It was like a Mike Lee film. Whoa! Celebrity news. Stop appearing at the end of real news. You diminish real news. And the death toll from the Pakistan flood could rise as high as 40,000. Christina Aguilera's cat has alopecia. No! DVD players and laptop computers, play all regions of DVD. If you don't, you're racist. Come on! Finally, people who constantly update what it is they're doing on the internet in the form of status updates. From where I'm sitting, it seems like there's 2 main schools of status update. The first and most common is make your life sound as awesome as possible. And I'll be like this, just had a picnic up a hill. What a perfect day. No! I know what you're like, you're bipolar, you cry for half the morning. But even more pointless than that is the other one. About to make an omelette. No! What? You are about to undertake the mighty omelette. Thank goodness you told it. This could go anyway. Somebody alert CERN. Alert NASA. You might create a new element. Clear a space on the periodic table for omeletium.
Yes, that's vintage David O'Doherty from about, I think, 2011, am I right?
The best review this year, they do this a lot in old Britain. I got a review that said, O'Doherty's star has risen since his award-winning sitcom on Sky One, Moon Boy. Which, that's Chris O'Dowd. That is Chris O'Dowd.
There's an uncanny resemblance.
I don't know if there is.
I think there is. I was looking at one of your videos last night and I saw you in action. I said, yeah, not unlike Chris O'Dowd. Even the accent.
Really? Yeah. He's got a big Roscommon. This is a partial Mayo, mostly Dublin city slicker voice.
Well, whatever
he's
it
got
is.
A big one of those. Really?
Anyway, being compared to Chris O'Dowd, could be worse.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. And how many keyboards do you go through in an average average day?
Well, the thing is, John, they're only about 20. Yeah, I buy them on eBay. They're about $20. So sometimes my show, if it's been a good show, sometimes it ends with the Who style moment where I just smash the keyboard and then immediately go straight online and just buy a new one. They're cheap. So I think I went through three this year in Edinburgh.
I see.
But the winter is normally a time when it's more relaxed from a keyboard smashing point of view.
And Electric Picnic, what was that like at the weekend?
It was absolutely... I was down on the Sunday, which was the really, really nice day. So you get there and you kind of get the feeling like you've arrived towards the end of the Vietnam War and everyone's covered in mud. And they're like, you weren't here on Friday when it was raining all the time. So I had an absolutely delightful time. It was great fun.
Constantly changing the content of your show, or is there a sort of set routine now that you go through?
I try and write a new about hour and a half every year. I mean, you just get sick of saying the same jokes over again, so they gradually start to replace themselves after a while. So I wrote a new show for Edinburgh, and I'll tour that a bit now over the winter, and then by night I'll be doing that show, and then by day I'll be doing readings of Danger Is Everywhere in whatever bookshops or schools or wherever wants us.
Yes, and by the way, when you're in Edinburgh, do you take any interest at all in what's going to happen there in the forthcoming referendum, or is it of any interest to you at all?
It's a very interesting time because you got the impression people hadn't fully engaged with it yet, and the polls were putting the no massively in front. But I think now that it's coming into the last couple of weeks, people have suddenly started to think about it. And I think there's a huge shift to yes in the last few days. And Alex Salmond, there is a definite popularity for him. And he did very well in the last debate just when I was there. So I think it's going to come down to the wire, that one. And I mean, who knows? It'd be very interesting times.
September 18th, I think it is, the day, the polling day.
Yeah, that's it. And then I will lead the Independence for Achill Island movement. We're going to form a new republic there.
I see.
We're going to shift the island. We're all going to get oars and move the island slightly south towards the Caribbean. And it will become the new Caribbean island.
Great stuff. Sounds good. Chris, you were watching the Electric Picnic, and what were you saying about Nimrods? What is a Nimrod, by the way?
Oh, God, I can't believe Twitter's so... I thought that was to my friends. No, I apologise for that.
Yes, you had a go. What is it? The presenters of the Electric Picnic show, is it? What were you saying, Chris?
I can't remember. I was in a daze.
It's not a term of endearment, Nimrod.
It means beautiful people, I believe. Yeah.
It does it?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, just in the world of illustration, how difficult is it to eke out a living as an illustrator, by the way, Chris?
Well, I do. I kind of would work a lot of commercial illustration, and then the children's book is books since about 2011. So, hopefully down the road it could make a proper living off the books and...
Oh my goodness, maybe. Stop talking yourself down. That what? Beautiful Roddy Doyle book.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
He's done, I can't believe I'm the one who has to big him up. There's about five of your books in the window of most bookshops in this country at the moment.
No, it's brilliant. It's to be able to actually get published and then to do something like this with David is just...
And which one did you illustrate for Roddy Doyle, which book?
His last children's book was called Brilliant.
Right.
So I did that,
okay, so you kept going.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're both self-employed, that means, doesn't it?
That's right, yeah.
I guess we are, yeah, finally. No more temping for me. I don't have to lie about being able to speak French. To some extent, for another while anyway. Yeah. This book is, it's coming out in America now, in a few, it came out in Australia today, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and America. The German cover has just come through yesterday, and the Philippines, they've taken it. So I know, you'd think, I thought it was a very Irish thing when we were writing it, but it turns out there's a universal fear of dangerous animals.
An international bestseller, you reckon, on your hands?
I will certainly say that, even if no one buys it in the Philippines. I'll say I'm huge in the Philippines.
Well, it's called Dr. Noel's Own, and it's Dr. D-O-C-T-E-R, just to point out that it's not a real doctor.
He didn't have time to go to college.
Yes, he presents Danger is Everywhere, and it's, the words are by David O'Doherty, and the pictures are by Chris Judge. Good luck with it, lads.
Thanks a million, John.
And thanks for coming in this morning, and take care of yourselves.
Thanks a lot.
Pleasure. Take care. We'll be back in a moment.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.